From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jimma Gaudette's Idaho Matters. If you start at Hawaii and travel 1,000 miles south, you'll run into a cluster of tiny islands. They're known as islets, and they make up the Palmyra Atoll. There's just around 600 acres of land above the sea, but below it, there are 15,000 acres of some of the most diverse coral reef systems on the planet. Palmyra was decimated during World War II by both deforestation and by rats, which piggybacked onto the island and ate pretty much everything. Crabs, insects, seabird eggs, chicks, even the trees. For more than 10 years, there's been an effort to reclaim Palmyra, and it's succeeding. It's restoring the landscape and the reef and providing a blueprint for other conservation efforts. Matt Miller lives in Boise. He's the editor of the Nature Conservancy's online blog, Cool Green Science, and he's the author of the book, Fishing Through the Apocalypse. And 3 years ago, he got to go fishing on Palmyra Atoll as part of the Fishing for Silence Science Research Program. He's going to share his story at the Boise Public Library on November 19th, and he's joining us for a preview. Matt, that was a very long introduction, but I hope it summed it up. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me, Samantha.
So give us a little more history of Palmyra. Start with World War II. What happened back then?
Well, Palmyra Atoll has a really interesting history in that it has never, before World War II, had permanent inhabitants. And even during World War II, of course, it was temporary, but there was an infrastructure built. So there was an airstrip that remains to this day. And what you would usually associate with, you know, a military presence. So there was a base there. When the military left, it came into private hands. And in the year 2000, the Nature Conservancy acquired it. And from that point on, it's been managed jointly by the Nature Conservancy and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
And tell us about the rats. I mentioned the rats. They came on World War II and just made a mess, it sounds like.
Yeah, and this is a story that has played out across the Pacific and islands everywhere. Rats are on board ships. They're very adaptable. They get on an island where the wildlife there has no familiarity with a mammalian predator, and they proceed to eat just about everything. And invasive species are damaging anywhere, but especially so on islands. You know, from Hawaii to New Zealand, anywhere where you have these small insulated populations of wildlife, when a predator from somewhere else hits there, it is devastating. And that's exactly what happened on Palmyra. Land crabs disappeared. Whole populations of seabirds disappeared.
It's incredible. And I was reading, I mean, you think about it, the rats are eating everything, but they were even more invasive because they would eat holes in the coconuts to eat what's inside and then leave the coconuts behind. And then the coconuts would fill with water. They would breed mosquitoes. There's mosquitoes all over, everywhere. It's just, it's incredible. So talk about the restoration project. When did that start and how are they working on it?
Yeah, so it's been highly successful, actually. An organization called Island Conservation has specialized in removing rats and other non-native predators from these island ecosystems. So working with the Nature Conservancy and the Fish and Wildlife Service, in the mid-2000s, they started an effort to eradicate rats. And it ended up being a very, you know, you need to have a very intensive and very quick approach, because if you have one pregnant rat that survives, in a matter of years, the rat population will be back to where it was. They reproduce that quickly. So it may seem brutal, but it requires a mass killing of the rats. But in doing so, you are saving, you know, hundreds and hundreds of other wildlife species, some found nowhere else on Earth. So Palmyra has been rat-free since 2015. And the results of that eradication effort have been nothing short of dramatic.
Wow. Okay, you went to Palmyra. It's part of the Fishing for Science program. What is that?
Yeah, so I write for the Nature Conservancy, and it has always been a dream job. I get to go to our conservation projects wherever we work. But a few years ago, I got a call, and the person on the other end said, we'd like you to come to Palmyra and write about our research. And the one catch is you have to participate in the research. And I asked, what is it? And they said, oh, it's this program called Fishing for Science, where we are tagging fish and we catch them by, sport angling methods. And at that point, I thought, like, maybe this was some kind of cruel joke, because it sounded indeed too good to be true. And in some ways it was. I mean, it was an incredible experience. We were tagging giant and bluefin trevally, these big, hard-fighting game fish, but implanting them with tags to see how sport fishing affects these species, because they're heavily targeted in some islands across the Pacific.
So, what was your first thought when you got there? I mean, this has got to be a beautiful spot.
It is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. It is, the waters are clear blue. Since the eradication of rats, the seabirds have come back. So there are several hundred thousand seabirds nesting right there. You hear their sounds every hour of the day and night. The crab population, there are 14 land crab species there. They've increased 400% since the rats are gone. So you have to watch every step. It's like a crustacean obstacle course. So just everything about it. Every turn on the trail, you're blown away. Like, I would stick my feet in the water in the evenings, and these giant manta rays would come by and brush against my legs. I mean, it just, beyond words in a lot of ways.
We're speaking with Matt Miller, the editor of the Nature Conservancy's online blog, Cool Green Science. He'll be sharing his experience on the Palmyra Atoll next week at the Hillcrest branch of the Boise Public Library. You mentioned, the hard work of having to catch fish all day and then you tagged them and let them go. How many did you catch? And you got one that already had a tag, right? That had to be pretty special.
Yeah, so part of this is, seeing, how the fish grow and how they're surviving in this ecosystem. So a recapture is always an exciting event. And I caught a trevally that had been caught 18 months prior and tagged. And so it was really cool to think of where it went. And it actually had not traveled far. It was still in the same lagoon where it was caught. But there were three of us on our team, and over the course of 10 days on the island, we caught more than 200 trevally.
Wow, that's amazing. You mentioned the wildlife coming back, and you went to see it. You mentioned the rays. You saw sharks. You got to see a giant coconut crab. What is a giant coconut crab?
Yeah, the giant coconut crab is one of the coolest wild animals I've ever seen. They are the largest land crab, and actually the largest terrestrial arthropod. They can be 3 feet
Oh my
wide. They can
gosh.
weigh 9 pounds. Their claws pack like a crushing force of 60 pounds per square inch. So if you stuck your finger in there, it would snap it off. The rats obviously could not tackle an adult, but they were gobbling up the babies as soon as they were born. And so they are rebounding. And on the main islands where there were rats, the coconut crabs are quite shy. There was one islet that was free of rats, and so it still has this very large coconut crab population. And they're just out walking around doing their thing during the daytime. And They're very colorful. They're like bright red and blue, and so just a really striking, powerful animal.
Wow, what an experience. What do you remember most about your trip? What really stuck with you?
I think it was we stayed in these little cottages, and I would often wake up in the middle of the night, and the seabirds are still calling. And outside, you can hear the sounds of like trevally sharks slashing and crashing as they chase smaller fish. And you step outside, and it's pitch black, and there's the stars, going down to the ocean. And just, one reflecting on, like how at one point this was the state of the world. It was all like this. There was this abundance everywhere. And also just gratitude to experience this really awesome, special moment.
We've got about a minute left. You're going to be talking about the Miracle at Palmyra next Tuesday in Boise. What are you hoping people take away from your talk? You're going to have a lot of pictures too, I got to point out.
Yes, yeah. Well, I hope people see that there is a connection from Palmyra to the rest of the world. And even in a pristine location, our decisions matter. Like even Palmyra can't escape plastics, for instance. So I hope you come and enjoy the incredible wildlife and beauty of Palmyra, but also see how it relates to our own lives here.
We've been speaking with Matt Miller, the editor of the Nature Conservancy's online blog, Cool Green Science, and author of the book, Fishing Through the Apocalypse. He's going to be sharing his experience on the Palmyra Atoll November 19th at the Hillcrest branch of the Boise Public Library. It's part of the Golden Eagle Audubon Society's monthly lecture series. We'll put a link on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Matt, I can't thank you enough for giving us a preview.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Samantha. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.